Hi, everybody. It's Michelle. This is our second half-day retreat in our Stories That Sell Now series, and it is May 5th, 2022. And we're going to begin, as we almost always do, we'll begin in Shavasana, just a way to collect ourselves. We're here together for the afternoon. Let's find our centers. Let's collect ourselves so that we bring the best of ourselves to this gathering today. So for Shavasana, I recommend camera off just so that you can go inward. You can just be in yourself and have a quiet moment to yourself. The rest of the call, camera on whenever possible. For now, camera off. Find a comfortable place where you can lie down. So if you're not able to, then you can do a seated meditation. If you're listening to this afterwards and you're driving, pull the car over, please. Don't do this while you're driving. So seated meditation if needed. And if not, always when you can, lying down in Shavasana, take this time for yourself. Place some support beneath your head and neck. So, and the support should go right to the shoulders, but not beneath. So a pillow, a folded blanket, and you want enough support beneath the head so that the chin is lower than the forehead, or at least level with it. So take the time to adjust and get appropriate support for yourself. Then bend your knees. You can press into the feet, lift the buttocks off the floor, and use the hands to take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. Make space through the low back, and then release the buttocks to the floor. Extend one leg, one heel along the floor, slide it along the floor. Slide the other heel along the floor and then release the legs to the earth. Let the baby toes drop to the earth. The rest of the toes follow. The legs are a comfortable distance apart. Now bend the elbows, dig the elbows into the floor, lift and open the heart center, any amount, open the heart. And then release the arms down into a low V, palms up position. And if you've really opened the chest, you may find that the support beneath the head has come away from the shoulders slightly. So without disturbing that open chest, use your hands to just gently pull that head support in so it touches the shoulders again and release the arms. The arms are straight. They're about 30 degrees away from the body. And then just softly close your eyes. So the way that we set up Shavasana is the way that we set up our companies as well. Paying attention to the details. Being supported. The whole practice is a metaphor that serves us not only in our businesses, but in our lives. So the eyes are closed. Just let the whole body release to the earth. Just let go. Behind closed eyes, just scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Again, find the next place where you find tension. Send the breath there, breathe into that spot, and let it go. Relax the legs. Relax the buttocks and hips. Relax the belly. Relax the low back. Mid back, upper back. Relax the low ribs, chest, collarbones. Relax the shoulders. Relax the arms and the hands. Relax the throat. Soften the skin of the face. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Let the forehead be smooth like butter. In this quiet place, just watch the breath. Feel the quiet ease of each breath, the quietness of this moment. Just be and breathe. If any thoughts arise, as thoughts will, gently, without judgment, release them. That's unimportant right now. Return to the breath. And in this quiet place, affirm your own divine beauty, your own rightness and alignment with the world. Affirm the perfectness of this moment. Know that with this next breath, that all is well. And then allow the breath to deepen. Place your hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend your knees. Roll onto the right side. Support your head with your upper arm. And just be. And then softly opening the eyes, if you haven't already, keep the gaze toward the floor. Use your hands to press yourself up to sitting. Slight pause, I had to sneeze, almost sneezed. And coming back up to sitting, return to our virtual circle. Camera on whenever possible, so you can be present here. Coming back to our virtual circle. Come on, thank you. Nice to see you. Tells me you're hearing my voice. That's great. What we focus on expands. Whatever is distracting us, whatever we don't like, leave that aside and continually turn your focus to this is what I love, this is what I love, this is what I love. That's the world that we start to see, and we build beautiful things from there. What did you love in your practice of Shavasana today? Who would like to go first? Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
I was distracted in the beginning and it was hard to settle. And I love your voice, Michelle, and I can lose myself in it and be grateful for your voice. And so I was listening extra to your voice. And you said the words divine beauty, and they resonated with me and they felt beautiful. And it reminded me of a conversation I had with someone last week, and who had told me a quote that I had never heard before from the Bible, the Song of Songs. And there's a line that says, My beloved, you are altogether beautiful, and I see no flaw in you. And when the person quoted that, I was like, where is that from? What? And I remember that I have that poem hanging on my wall and never knew that line. It's in Hebrew. I never knew that line was in there, never heard that line. And it's been there the whole time, waiting for someone to tell me and focus me on that line that's always been there and were words that filled my soul. Reminded me, what if I said that to myself all the time? How different would my life be? So when you said divine beauty just now, I remembered that line.
Beautiful, beautiful. What we focus on expands. Divine beauty, no flaw. To know that you're beautiful and whole right here and now. To know that with this breath. If we can't ever touch that, how could we ever inspire that in another? And isn't that what we do in all the various things that we do with our work? How important it is to touch that place, and not just once, over and over. It's one of the reasons we return weekly to Shavasana, to practice it over and over again, because it's not an intellectual thought, you know? It's not just a textbook understanding of something. Like I intellectually know that there's something beautiful about me, but I don't really believe it, and none of me is engaged in it, and all my cells are going, not really, but yeah, I even have affirmations about it, etc. What is it to know it in ourselves? And I, as you're speaking of it here, Heidi, I can see you embodying that. And Shavasana is one of the many things that Shavasana gives us access to, something so much deeper in us. Something that is, I'm trying to describe it in words. I've worked with words for so long, but it goes beyond words. Something so deep in us, of our own knowing, of our own who we are. And that's how we go beyond just aiming for the ceiling and hitting it. And then at the end of our life, coming to this, like, well, that's all there is. Because we didn't bother aiming past the ceiling. Because we're afraid, because we thought we're small, because we can't do it, and we struggle. What if it could just be easy? Starts here. Starts here. Heidi, thank you. Beautiful. What did you love about your practice of Shavasana today? Who would like to share next? It could be as simple as, I really liked that breath. Doesn't it? Sometimes it comes as a flash of illumination. Sometimes it's an experience we don't quite know how to articulate. Sometimes it's just like, oh, I'm so glad I got to stop. I don't know. Who would like to share? Diane, thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed having the affirmations in with it today too. And it worked out really well for me because it helped me to get more focused.
Thank you for that. Thank you. The mind is more receptive when we're in Shavasana. We're more open. We have receptiveness. I guess that's about the word I'm looking for. That is the word, receptiveness. And so it is a perfect mind, body, spirit state to place a different thought, to begin a different story, to affirm the highest in us. So thank you for noticing that. Beautiful. I'm glad that touched you. All right. Anything else wanting to be said about this practice today? Dawn, that was like me immediately. Yes, Dawn.
Yes. I think for me, it was the chance to get in my body, to be in my body, because there's so much that I'm attending to, that this chance to check in and be with myself helps me to have a better focus.
So beautiful. You know, wait, hang on. Ah! I'm trying not to cough in your ear. I'm doing so much better. I'm not all better yet. So, you know, excuse the cough through the glass. There's so much more energy now, though. So, yes, being in your body, Thank you, Dawn. And, you know, Jack Canfield, you've heard me say this, says 1 hour of work in the inner world is equivalent to 7 hours work in the outer world. Are we working too hard? That chance to go inside, to be in your body, and because, you know, and to, especially when there's a lot going on, so important. I spent so much time with that when I was with my mom last summer in her final days, like lots of time going inward. It wasn't, you know, it was not all time at her bedside, because otherwise I couldn't have been present there. So a lot of going inward, and the same as I'm recovering from COVID. I'm COVID negative, but still have the cough and so on, right? And building my energy back, and a lot of yoga, a lot of quiet time, a lot of pranayama, a lot of shavasana, just integrating, going inward, and the fruits of this practice, it's actually felt in the body. So when you've practiced shavasana, you can start, if you choose, to add on some very simple postures. So one that I was doing today, you just put your legs up on the chair. That's pretty well it. I had a bolster beneath my low back as well, but that's like kind of extra finesse. This posture is said to rest the heart. And I've been teaching that for many years, but since I have my Fitbit now, my heart rate in just like lying there in Shavasana, which is with my feet up, that's all. My heart rate was 53, you know? So actually taking the time to rest, to restore, to renew, and what that does for our body, what that does for our energy level, and what that does then, and this in it's for stories that sell now, as we walk in to tell a story, whether it's an impromptu one or one that's scripted, as we walk onto stage, like, what if we walk in like that instead? What more will we have access to of inner resources, of divine knowing that moves through us, of decision-making in the moment? We may turn a story just in a moment because we're sensing the audience in front of us in a deeper way because we're present. Thank you, Dawn. Actually embodied, being in our bodies changes everything, you know, not just our businesses. We change our lives and our businesses change, right? Yeah, another everything else that we're, you know, moving through in our lives as well. All right, anything else wanting to be said without which we can't go forward? I love the accumulation of knowing of what Shavasana is for us each time we do this, because I really don't believe in, you know, pushing. I mean, sometimes we might have a push for something momentarily, but it's not a way to live. And when we can do it in that aligned way, it's so much easier. It's so much more efficient. Our lives are so much better. We start here and there's an accumulation of knowing of what that Shavasana is. And I suggest that you start every day with Shavasana, and not because thou shalt, but simply because as we see the benefits to it, 5 minutes at the beginning of your day, so much more energy, so much more life, so much more ease. Yeah, really good. Okay, let me see. Announcements. I didn't print them off today, so let me just go and, where did I put that? I close my announcements page. Okay, let me go find it again. I'm sure I had it open. Oh, wait, it might be here. I just have lots of tabs open. There it is. Okay, yay. I think I closed it. All right, announcements. Our last call in our Stories That Sell Now, the last half day retreat is next week, same time, same place. Story Freedom is May 17th to 19th. I hope and trust that everyone here is already coming. But you've got that carved out on your calendar. And I'm just going to cut and paste this. as you know, Yvonne often does this for me, and me multitasking, it just like, bear with me. All right. So I put it in the chat, or I'm about to. All right. So how to redeem your complimentary ticket. If you're here, you have a free ticket to Story Freedom. And the instructions are in the chat. You go to storyfreedomlive.com, and this information has been sent to you as well, but just so you know, you click the reserve my ticket button, and then make sure you enter that SF, you see it, SF 2022 gift, and case sensitive, all capital letters, right? SF 2022 gift, and then click apply. Make sure the total goes to zero. our system is going to ask you for our credit card, for your credit card. There's no way to go around this. It's just the way the system works. But so long as your order shows zero, your card will not be charged. All right. So we're not going to charge your card. It's just the way the system works through Infusionsoft. So, but you've got a free ticket to Story Freedom. Please make sure you register so we know that's your way of putting your stake in the ground. Yes, I'm coming. And then I plan for you. I know you're coming. I'm thinking about you. I know where we're going in the event, but I think about the real live human beings and what their questions are and what's going on for them. So send that in right away, please. Let us know, put your stake in the ground for coming. Program updates coming soon. We've got a whole new way of working together beginning in June. Can't wait to see you next week. We got a deep dive half day. We've got three full days at Story Freedom. Please block out the whole day. If you can block out the day before, block out the day after. You're going to want to process and integrate, right? Give yourself the gift of time. And then coming June, following Story Freedom, we'll be unveiling a new calendar. And I'm super excited for you. And thank you for your patience. It's going to be amazing. It's the biggest up-leveling of the program that we've done since this community began in 2010. So bear with us as we are creating wonderful, wonderful things for you, all right? For those who are on a longer journey together. Again, for those who are on a longer journey, there's monthly masterminds hosted by Yvonne and Marie. The next one's Wednesday, May 11th at 2:00. An email with a survey was sent out recently. If you're in the year-long program, make sure you fill out your survey. That's there designed to serve and support you every month. What is it that I want? Am I getting what I want? Am I focused on the right things, right? And you're not gonna wanna miss being in touch with Marie and Yvonne, because when I have a story issue, they're the ones that I turn to. They are amazing. You don't want to miss being able to get direct coaching from them in the monthly masterminds, and then the 30-minute calls with Marie. And again, if you're in the year-long, you should have this link in your inbox, but there's the link for Marie. And how to post questions. You all should have received the job form survey to post questions. We didn't see any questions posted for this week, but if you have questions throughout, of course, always, you know, stop me for clarification if there's something you want to know. I'm hoping there'll be questions, time for questions at the end. If not, we're going to have more time for questions next time as well. So there's just a lot of content that I want to cover with you today. A lot of things that I want to teach you and share with you. So any questions about the announcements? All clear? All right.
Mm-hmm. You said we had three full days deep dive next week. Do you mean the week after?
Yes, the week after.
Okay.
Week after, So happy next week.
I just
want
to make sure I haven't missed something. So thank you.
Oh my goodness. And it's not in the announcements because I'm so glad you said that, because let me check on my calendar. Amy organizes a whole bunch of things for us in the community. And then Emily organizes the announcements for me. And I don't think we told Emily this yet. So it wasn't in the announcements, but let me announce it to you and it'll be in your inbox. So there is also a pre-call for Story Freedom. And if you're in the, if you're here listening to my voice, it's for you. And it is Friday, May 13th at 12:30 for 75 minutes. So glad you said that, Marnie, because that made me remember that. So Amy will be sending that out to you anyway, but so we have our half day retreat on Thursday. Then on Friday, we've got Story Freedom pre-call, and then 3 days the next week. So lots to serve and support you. And if there's something in you going like, oh, I can't do that because. Check inside. And see what you can do to give yourself the gift of this time. Lives have been changed deeply at Story Freedom. And I've undergone such a radical evolution myself in the last few months and the last year, but also the last few months. I am more excited about the Story Freedom than I have been ever, ever, ever. And so give yourself the gift of that time. Allow yourself the possibility that life can change radically in a beautiful way in 3 days. All right. Okay. So thank you, Marnie. Anything else about the announcements and what's coming up to serve and support you? All good? Okay. So Wins. I would love to hear some wins. I mean, we did some fabulous work. We're going to review some of the things we did last time and pull some of the threads together before going on to some new material for today. I would love to hear some wins. What are some wins in your business? Could be some wins in your life. Could be wins with story, because we started understanding story in a whole different way. And you get to be in the driver's seat of your stories. Did you hear those examples from last time? It's phenomenal. So I'd love to hear some wins. Who has a win to share? At any level. And you know what? You always have wins to share. So, and sometimes, you know, when I've been had the opportunity to share wins, often I've raised my hand. I don't even know what the win is. Because by the, yeah, Dawn, thank you. Because by the time I'm called on and, you know, the person who's asking finishes their sentence, I trust that I will have thought of it. And it's a wonderful way to live. Right? So Dawn, what's the win that you would like to share?
I think a shift is occurring with this knowledge that I am receiving about being an empath. I think I always felt tortured by it. And now
I get it. You know, for some people, they'll go, what? Isn't it a good thing? You know, but to actually feel that deeply, what other people are feeling, it can be. When you actually do it and you're walking around and you bump into people who are in pain, it could be disabling, right? So I get it. Yeah, I mean, I'm laughing, but I mean, sometimes you gotta laugh or cry, right? So, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Dawn, go ahead.
That I'm now shifting to see that this is really a very powerful gift, that I wasn't given the gift to be tortured. I was given it because it's a huge power. And how am I going to use that power? And how is that going to really shift every belief that I've held and every pattern that I've gotten into?
Thank you, Dawn. So beautiful. So beautiful. And you know, I know that in this room, everybody heard you. And you probably weren't consciously thinking of shaping a story. You may not have been. But I just want to take the opportunity, and Dawn, are you all right if I do this? Thank you. To say why we heard her so well. Because there was conflict. There was something difficult. There was something that she needed to surmount. We knew we'll talk about this later in the call. We knew who the center of the journey was. That was Dawn. And then there was a profound realization. There was something that shifted. And then there was a clear theme. All in that little tiny piece, she had an entire little mini story. And around the room, people heard. Now, Dawn had something important to say. There's a theme. She actually took a stand and said something. I wasn't given this to be tortured. I was given this for power. It's a powerful thing to say. And she's saying she stood for it. And everything she said connected with that. That's why we heard you so well, Dawn. You had a powerful thing to say. And it was actually a little mini story form. And again, I don't go around always shaping stories consciously, but I've worked with them for so long. They come out like stories. So both what you said is so beautiful and how you said it lit up the room. Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. What a beautiful illustration in mini form of what we're talking about. It's the stories that sell now, right? You all heard what Dawn had to say, and what a powerful thing to say. Thank you. She could have said the opposite. I thought I was giving it for power and I don't even want to say it, you know, right? Opposite theme. She could have come up with evidence for that, but she took a stand for her own story and her own life. And we heard. Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. All right, let's hear another win. And then now, because I said that, I might have like put some editors in the room. Oh no, I better make sure it's a story. Like, don't worry about it. Right? There's something to share. Don't second guess yourself. Because I pointed out Dawn's story. We'll hear you. Is that you, Heidi? Yeah, Heidi.
That is a tough act to follow, Dawn. It was very beautiful. It's very beautiful. Thank you. And I'm teasing you. It's an honor to follow you. My win was noticing a behavior that I've been having and recognizing the story behind my behavior. I noticed that I have been resisting writing, journaling, the self-interest, the introspective kind of writing. And I was consciously bewildered by that. I don't understand. Why would I not want to write and go within? And I realized that I was afraid that if I went within, I would speak to myself a truth I didn't want to speak, which was that I felt shame about something. Mm-hmm. And that it meant something bad. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I had been telling myself a false story. And like yours, Dawn, it wasn't about something wrong. It was honoring my own knowing. And when I saw that, that my choice not to do some very invasive therapy with my son was not because I was lazy and a bad mother, but because I was trusting my inner knowing it was not the right thing for him or for me. And when I realized that it was that voice that was speaking, I forgave myself. And now I feel clear to write.
Wow, Heidi, I've got chills. Beautiful. Beautiful. There's like 10 things I want to say all at once. Beyond the scope of what we can talk about here, but I used to teach a workshop called The Healing Word for people on the cancer journey and those supporting them. Did that for several years. And then they wanted me to do more and build a program, and you just can't do everything, you know? So stop doing that. But it was amazing work. And I know through that work and other work that I've done, writing in that way, even if it's hard in the moment, that kind of introspective journaling, when done in a particular way, in the way that you are doing now and doing even with your words, but that, you know, moving through these difficult things, is tremendously healing. And they call it expressive writing. And if you want to know more about it, there's a researcher named James Pennebaker. He's done a lot of research on it, James Pennebaker. And they've done studies like 20 minutes of writing a couple of times and control studies where students' grades in the second semester went up just from these little, you know, uncontrolled studies, right? Just from four times of writing for 20 minutes, right? In this way called, you know, expressive writing. And people whose, you know, cancer had metastasized slept better through the night, asthmatics breathe better. Like the physical effects of writing, our words, our stories are very powerful. There's healing effects on the body. And Heidi, you said, you know, you're afraid to write because you might see something that you don't want. Expressive writing, there's like, it's writing about something difficult and how you felt then and how you feel now about it. And it's different from just venting, right? Sometimes we start there, right? But actually moving through our feelings in that way has had profound physical and emotional effects. Like people who they've done controlled study, people who are trying to get jobs, and they here's the ones that did all the things they're supposed to do to get jobs, and these ones just did expressive writing, and the ones who did the expressive writing got the jobs, you know? So our words are very powerful, our stories are very powerful, and I love what you shared, Heidi, and I'm so glad that you had the courage to go within and face your story, essentially, right? Face what that story was, what was going on. And one of the reasons I hesitated is this stark image came up in my mind of something that my uncle told me. And I'm like, is this the right story to share right here, right now? And, but it came up so strongly in me, I'm just going to trust it. And then do I have permission to share this? Let me think. The last paper I gave at university was on ethics and autobiography. How do we tell our own self stories when other people are implicated in our stories, right? So I'm just, give me 1 second. I wasn't planning to talk about any of this today, but you know, your questions and your ahas and your wins are bringing them up. And it's all part of writing our stories, right? Authentically, not that surface level stuff, right? So is this helpful to you? Like learning about James Penbaker, and I'm just looking around the room. Most of you are nodding. Okay, good. Yeah, all of you actually now. Okay, good. So when you said invasive therapy, I went to visit my uncle a few weeks ago, before I got COVID. And he was telling me that he had a memory resurface of a time when he went with my grandmother, with his mom, when she was brought to a therapy in those days that was really awful. And the memory of it, he was like, you know, traumatized by it, right? And the memory of it was just resurfacing now, and he's in his 70s. And so when you said like an invasive therapy, that image of him in the car with his mom popped up in my head. And just something of trusting yourself. I don't know the details, but trusting yourself with your own knowing, being in the driver's seat of your own story with you and with your son and the decisions that you're making. All of that is about owning our stories, right? I can't say, you know, it's this you should do or this you shouldn't do, or this. I'm not trying to say anything like that, but the piece that I'm hearing of you owning your story, facing it and then owning it, this is where the power of stories comes from at a deep level. So thank you for sharing it too. When our stories are witnessed, when we share our stories, it's really, really powerful. Whew. All right. Yeah, Marnie.
I refer to those kinds of stories as the story we dare not share.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find that you won't even share it with yourself, almost always there's trauma and shame involved. And when it starts to peep up, that's when you're ready for that transformation. And I've seen that so many times with people and with myself. And, you know, having recognized now when those stories, and I'm tamping them down, you know, you use the word editor, but I would say stomp over it. That's usually a sign that there's power in there somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when our editor, that's that voice inside that doesn't really help us, right, kicks up a fuss about a story, you know, oh, you can't say that. Oh, it's wrong. Oh, I probably didn't do it right. Oh, it's like, that's where the power usually lies, right? To dare to go there. And we're going to talk about the shape of story today. And you could remember this conversation. And remember Dawn's mini story that she told, right? Heidi told the story as well and so on, right? But we heard it and we talked about the structure with Dawn's here, you know. When we understand that those hard places are a necessary part of our stories, it doesn't mean that if there's something that you go like, I don't know if I can share that, well, you get to choose. You get to be in the driver's seat. You always get to choose, but always glossing over all of the hardest parts as though it's like we're living in this like flatline world, that's not a story. Nobody hears us. There's no connection. There's no truth to it. It's like living at the worst of the cocktail parties all our lives. And it's like not a great place to live. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, the worst kind, right? Our stories come from a deep guttural place. And then we learn about the structure of it so that we can connect, so that we can build trust, so that we can build relationships, so that we can, and therefore through that, that's how our work grows. Okay, really beautiful, thank you. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be shared before we move on? Two hands immediately went up. So Dawn, Deborah, I don't know whose hand went up first. One of you decide who's going first. Deborah, you're pointing to Dawn. So Dawn, I think you're pointing to Dawn. Dawn, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. I just have to say, you know, Heidi, I have this, I led the team of starting the program for the insurance company that I told you about before. And I have a strong reaction to those types of therapies, those invasive types of therapies. I don't know what it is you're speaking about specifically, but I just have to say that to me, talking about torture, I think it's a form of torture. I know it's not meant that way, but again, I'm saying, but I have a strong reaction to them. I don't agree with them myself. So I just need to bring that over.
Thank you, Donna. And so, you know, what I want you to notice as well is that our words matter. The words we choose as we tell our stories, because if Heidi had told the story differently, if she'd said, and also if she hadn't moved through her story enough, right? I felt shame about a really well-respected therapy that I decided, or whatever, right? We would have felt differently about the story she was telling and about the decision she made. So it's both, Dawn is there showing support for Heidi, but I want us to notice, to step back and watch the story and how we bring about connection through story, because the way Heidi told her story brings about connection and empathy, right? And also, it's about her owning it too. Wait, hang on. It's about her owning her story, because if she hadn't owned that story yet, it probably would have been told in that other way and it would have had mixed messages. Well, these authorities who said that, right? But she had already owned, digested the story, owned it, knew what the theme was, what the strong point was that she wanted to make. And it came across in a way that Dawn wants to throw her support behind that story. So thank you for bringing that, thank you for that, making that comment, Dawn, because again, all of this shows us the importance of how stories, how we tell our stories, that we have something to say, that we stand for it, that we own our stories, and that we then have an idea of how to shape that story and use and find the words to say it so that people will hear us. It's really, really powerful. If you understand the link between what I'm saying and what just happened with Dawn and Heidi, raise your hand. Did I find the words to say it? Everybody, fantastic. Okay. Deborah.
So my win this week was I was given an offer by my mother completely out of the blue to support me in doing a course that I was completely unaware of. But it has the potential for a healing opportunity for me on multiple levels, but specifically with the health issue that I was an hour before the offer given some really challenging news, which is involving me having to make some decisions that are not easy for me to make at this moment in time. And I honored myself by letting her know I need time to think because I am too emotional at the moment with the other news, but I allowed myself to journal, to research, to sit, to meditate, to take the time to see what it is I need to do for me, for both my health and what I'm capable of doing moving forward, for both my health and my business and education.
Deborah, thank you for sharing. And whatever the news is that you've received, it's so beautiful how you've taken it as an opportunity to think to process, to go inside, to make the best decision for yourself, for your health, for your business, for your relationships, right? For like the whole web of your life, I could hear it. And so thank you so much for sharing. And did you see the hearts that popped up around the room? You know, this is a strong community, and, you know, whatever it is that you're, whatever it is that the news is, I very rarely will say we, because I don't want to assume what others are thinking, but I want to say we, because it's so self-evident. See your strength in this. And your ability to chart your course. And there's a lot of love here in this room for you. Yeah. Just saying.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I haven't fully felt strong. I usually am a very strong person, but it has brought me to my knees this week. But I am looking for the wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Heard it. Yeah. And Deborah, if you are willing, you know, if you're looking, this is an amazing and strong community. And if you're looking for some support here, just somebody that you can lean in with, is anybody willing to, you know, reach out to Deborah if she wants or needs some, you know, nods going around the room. So yeah, like hands going up. So Deborah, do you want to just put your contact info in the chat? If you wish to, just here, and then who wants to be that support for Deborah? Who would, you know, I saw hands going up all over the place. So Anna Maria and Dawn, maybe add your contact information in the chat, and later on you guys can save the chat and you can be in touch with each other. All right. So yeah, thank you for that. All right. Well, so I'll give you a moment to put your contact info in the chat. Yeah, Anna Maria.
Can I share a win, Dr. Michelle?
Absolutely. We'd love to hear it, Anna Maria.
Thank you. I think it's about listening. And it's about horses, of course, but it's also reflecting a lot on me. I had this horse who I needed to put her in the trailer. She had to go to the hospital. So I was a little bit telling her, you have to go. And I was tapping a little bit and she was getting aggravated with me. And then she stopped. She looked at me square in my eyes, just stopped and looked at me. And she said, no, you can't do that. I cannot work that way. So I said, okay, I am so sorry. So I stopped and I went and I just brought my finger over. She went in the trailer. Just with my finger. That was it. And so then I was thinking a lot about your the session in loving kindness. I love that. And I have been saying a lot about the meditation, loving kindness meditation, when I'm working with horses, when I'm working with myself. And I really think it has a tremendous effect in me. And then I project it to them too. But it has woken up a lot of things about me that I need to open up to people around me that I don't, that I keep a little bit contained. But I'm happier than I have been, more open to say the things that I dream about, that I want to do. So thank you. Thank you.
Anna Maria, beautiful. So beautiful to hear. Thank you so very much. Oh, goodness. Wow. You guys are amazing. You know, this isn't in my notes, right? But I love that there's such heart in this room and there's such deeper understanding about the power of sharing our stories. Like, can you feel the connectedness in this room right now as we speak, as people are sharing their stories, not in that cocktail way, but what's really going on? And whether you know it or not, you are starting to use some of the things that we're learning here in order to tell your stories. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's not conscious. And so you're being heard, and that forms that deeper connection, and all of which, again, so Anna Maria, fantastic. Just like, wow, just, you know, your finger. Like, look at the power in you, and look at the ability to go in and to go into the go and to see that, to own that loving kindness for self, to make deeper connections with others, and allowing that to open you up to other people and deeper connections, and you know, these are the big breakthroughs. And then it's after that that we hear about the you know, a business breakthrough or this breakthrough in our lives or whatever, like the external things that other people see, right? Or that we speak of sometimes from stage or whatever, but the real work is happening here. Fabulous, Anna Maria. That's so wonderful. I'm so happy for you. All right. I want you to jot down your biggest aha about story. About story, because we've been telling stories all along here. Just jot it down for yourself. Don't need to share it. It's your biggest aha, just to tie a little bow around this incredible opening to our call today. Hour-long opening, deep, deep dive about story. And finishing up that last thought, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. Thank you. I love what Heidi wrote in the chat. I don't always see the chat, you guys know, but Heidi says, the horse felt your loving kindness, Anna Maria, and so wanted to respond to a mere finger motion. Beautifully summarized. Yeah, thank you. Love it. All right. Anything burning to be said, without which we can't go forward? There's always time for everything. We will always get there. We always do. And if there's like, there's so much energy in the room today, and if, and I see you, Don, and if we leave it there, then there's energy pulling off in that direction unconsciously or energetically. And so we want to make sure that we empty out the room, because then we're going to fill with more. There's so much I want to share with you today, right? So Don, go ahead.
I got excited because I realized, I'm just realizing about this being an empath, that it may even be my superpower. I think it may be my superpower. And that made me think, as we were all here together, that story is nothing unless there's someone to hear it and listen. And we're talking about the deeper listening, deeper hearing that really drew me to you, Michelle, you know, is that was what this person is really listening. This person hears me and sees me. And if there's no one here to hear the story, how are we going to follow it and know there's a story?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all about audience. All about audience, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. Mm. And so sometimes we think we try to create a story in a vacuum, but it's always for somebody. It's for a real person in a real scenario, even if it's a bunch of somebodies. Who is that person? And I have a real thing to say. That's the theme we talked about that last time. That's the thing that I want to say, right? So thank you for underlining that, and we can see it so tangibly in this room. I said, write down your biggest aha about story, and that could be it. Stories are a real interaction between human beings with somebody actually listening. Like, and there's a lot of theoretical stuff taught about, you know, and fill in the blank stuff about story these days. But when we miss that central dynamic that we could see right here in this room, we don't have anything. We have a perfectly crafted story. It's not going to do anything, right? So thank you for that. Beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. All right. Yeah, Marnie, go ahead. You guys are just like brimming with things today. Oh my goodness, Marnie.
So after our session last week, I was having a night, I was having some trouble sleeping. So I had a little story running through my head. So I got up and jotted it down. But it started with this: I want to share. I want to be heard. I want to be understood. I want my story to be respected, and I need to know that it has meaning.
Thank you. Beautiful. I love that no one in this room is wanting to skirt on the surface of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get to the real stories. Let's get to the deep stories. Let's get to where it really comes from. All right, beautiful. Thank you, Marnie. So beautiful. And talk about turning that into an empowering story. I can't sleep. Oh yeah, but something beautiful came out of it. You know, so it's beautiful about your life, about your work, about what matters, about sharing stories, about, you know, what it is like to be heard. And that deep, there's a deep longing, right? Wanting to be heard and understood. And when we are, we can, and we have something to say that matters. You can change the world. Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Anything else with that wanting to be said, without which we cannot go forward? I've been in this community where lots is brimming up, but I don't remember a day like it's just like bursting up from you, you know, so beautiful. And when the teaching happens organically, I love that. When we can see it actually in action, there's so much that we're learning about story as we're sharing wins, you know, sharing ahas, sharing things that you've written, sharing things that you've experienced. And there's so much learning about, if you go back and re-listen to everything and go, what am I learning moment by moment about story? If you could come up with 100 things that just happened in the last hour, right? About audience, about connection, about relationship, about tapping into something deeper inside of us, about when there's shame to actually face it and have the courage to write it down, about how stories are healing. I mean, so much has happened. So much. All right. Anything else bursting to be said? All good for now? All right. Whew. Jot down your biggest aha one more time. Just want to empty out the room one more time so that there's room for more, you know? I heard that Buddhist story about the student whose cup was too full, and the teacher just kept pouring more and more and more into the cup. He's going, what are you doing? But the student's cup was so full already that there was no more room for anything else, right? And the student was, and the teacher was trying to make that point. So let's empty out, jot down an aha, so we can dive in. I'm just finishing up that thought, taking it to a place where you can come back to it at a later time. Thank you. Okay, we have covered so much about story, and there's still so much that I want to share with you, both last week and today. And I just want to do a brief reminder of some of the places where we were at last week. Let me see. Yeah, this I'm just going to give to you. I'm just going to give to you. This I'm just going to give to you. You know, you have an infinite number of stories, and we hear them bubbling up today, right? Story after story after story, right? Beautiful stories to be shared, and hard stories sometimes to be shared, but you have an infinite number of stories. You have infinite material for stories. Remember those story stems that we worked with last week? And then I think of Marnie in this. It's like, and we gave you that home play about 25 stories. But Marnie goes, it's not 25 stories. I came up with 25 categories of stories, right? Under which there's all these other stories. You have infinite stories to draw on. And this itself, if you only got this from this whole series, because people go, well, I don't know what story to tell. I don't have a story. Are you kidding me? Like, we tackled that. We handled that clearly last week. And we see it brimming up, bubbling up this week as well. We also talked about a story needs a theme. And we talked about what a theme is. This is a lamp, is not a theme, right? It's as a fact, in most circles, at least, it's a fact. This is a lamp, right? So a theme, it's a point that people could argue with, they could disagree with, right? And Dawn gave us a great example, you know, because she used to disagree with the point herself. She showed us that it's a point that could be disagreed with when she told her story. I used to think that I've been given that, you know, ability to, to being an empath was to torture me. Some people think that, right? But it's instead, it's a source of my true power. That's a theme. That's a something to say. That's why we could hear what she was saying. Everything that she said was tied with that, right? So the story needs a theme, and everything is designed to make that one point, right? And I choose my story. I choose my story to make that one point. Now, sometimes when we think about story, we think, okay, well, I've got to find the right story. And that story intrinsically means something. But what I wanted to convey last week, and you guys got it in spades, I know we got there. I choose my story and I choose my story to make that point. I get to decide what that story means. And sometimes I need to work it, you know, or there was one with Heidi's where we had to work it because, well, I was in kindergarten and, you know, car trip, and we had to work it. And you could see like how you work with the story. But the story doesn't intrinsically mean one thing or another. I get to be in the driver's seat. You know, when I teach, like if you read an Anatomy of an Empowering Story, and I say stories are everywhere, they're empowering, disempowering stories, and you get to choose. This is the deeper layer of what that means, all right? You get to choose. You get to be in the driver's seat of that. And Deborah, we had a great example with Deborah, for instance, right? What does a family road trip mean? Does it mean integration or dissolution of the family, for instance, right? I can't even remember what the exact theme was now, right? But it's like love prevails or life falls apart on a road trip, right? And then we choose the details of that story. Is it about a ring or is it about an 8-track tape? And if you missed that call or missed that part of that call, make sure you go, whether you're listening to me, you're here now in this room, or you're listening afterwards to the call, don't miss it, because it was very, very powerful for understanding how much we craft our stories, how much we craft our stories. One of my fields for my PhD is autobiography, and you guys got that better than anywhere that I've seen a group get that, I would say. How much we actually literally craft our stories. We get to be in the driver's seat of that. Then we talked about watch how you're playing too, right? Because the inner game of the story is so important. And as you're crafting your story, and Heidi gave us such a perfect example of that this week, she worked for that story. You know, she worked for that story this week. I felt shame. I didn't even want to write it down, you know? So watch how you're playing throughout, because you will find that who you, and Anna Maria too, that, and the story about the finger and the, you know, the horse, just, you know, all it took was lifting one, you know, making a gesture with one finger, you know, just amazing, right? So our watch how you're playing, and we watched Anna Maria do that too, others in the room as well, right? But we watched Anna Maria coming to the meaning of those elements of her life, and then what she can do with that to let it be a source of power. So watch how you're playing all along, and if you bump into something, you're not the only one, right? And again, think of how Deborah worked for that meaning. And it's not that it's all tied up neat in a bow. I'm not trying to say that, right? So it doesn't mean, oh, look, it's all hunky-dory now for, you know, all of the things that, like, for Dawn, for instance, in what that means to be an empath. It doesn't mean that every time she's empathic, that's always going to happen like that. I'm not saying that that's cut and dried, but we get to be in the driver's seat. Watch how you're playing, and more of that inner level story and how it connects with the outer stories we're speaking will come out as you're working to craft your story. Does that make sense? As we work to craft our stories, we're going to bump into stuff, and that bumping into stuff is an opportunity to grow, which allows us to build that next level of the story. If you understood what I just said, raise your hand. I said kind of the same thing in different ways to try to give you access to this. Yes, I'm seeing nods around there. I'm good. Then last week, just a reminder, we played the story game, and I'm giving you examples of that. And again, thanks to Marnie, Heidi, Deborah, and all who listened, whether you're listening live or in the recording as well, right? How to match a story with a story stem with a given meaning. And, you know, I remember Marnie too pulling out the details of, oh, here's the family. And then Marnie working for that. She really kind of wanted it to mean something else. And our stories start to drift because she so wanted a different meaning. But the more she stuck to that one theme, the more we could hear the story. And also that stories are not, they don't just mean one thing. So Heidi goes, there's a story about kindergarten. Oh, but it could mean that. I could speak that story from stage, and she wasn't necessarily sourcing that story or thinking that it could mean anything that would be helpful. So don't discount any of those 25 stories that you wrote down for the home play this week, right? Any one of them and countless others could be something that you would speak networking from stage, when you're sitting around chatting with people, when you're writing your website. There are countless stories, and our stories have roots deeper than we know. Think about Heidi and the kindergarten story last time. It's like our stories are deeply rooted, right? So you have amazing stories that you can choose from. So that's some of where we were. And what I think makes that so powerful is that, again, it puts us in the driver's seat of our, not only our companies, but our lives. We have that thing that happened and it means this, and therefore it's been horrible since. And sometimes that's the potential client sitting in front of us. Well, this means that. And therefore, you know, this thing that happened in kindergarten means that, like to use the example of Heidi last week. And therefore this happens in my life, and therefore it's always like that and I'm stuck. When we understand how the stories work, we can help people so much better and know that it doesn't have to mean that thing, that we get to craft that. All right. And then I gave you some support, some handouts. We've done a lot about story, right? So a couple of handouts, the 7 surprising sources for your stories, right? And then just a place for you to jot down your 25 stories. Did you get a chance to take a look at those handouts? And we were doing some of the work in class, but you can take it further. Lots of nods in the room. Fantastic. And then just a reminder too, I don't know if any of you reviewed it this week, that you all have access to that half-day retreat on talks that sell, right? On talks that sell, right? So you all have access to that. We did it, you know, it was recorded a month ago or so. And in that, that's one place where you could use your story, right? That's one place where you could use your story in the midst of a talk. The talk itself is a story as well. That's another story, right? If you want to do that, if you want to speak, and even if you're not a speaker, I suggest that you review that material, because it really shows us how to, you know, here's my story. And it has a particular purpose. And then that's connected with the larger purpose of the talk. And we do that not just when we're speaking. So just want to let you know the resources that you have in connection with Stories That Sell Now, in connection with this series. Am I making sense? We've done a lot. All right, just a reminder of some places where we've been. Then last week, I also asked you to say, well, where do you want to use your story first? Is it in a talk? Is it with a colleague? Is it with, you know, is it when you're networking? Decide and bring that to class. If you remember to do that, just, and no shame, just wanted to know, raise your hand. You came with like, here's where I want to use that. I know it's been a lot. If it's like, I thought of it, but I didn't get to it, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. If it's like, I don't remember that I was supposed to do that, be proud, raise your hand, because others will, yeah, thank you. Whereas we've got not too many people actually did it. Some of you remembered, some of you didn't know you needed to do it. And that's okay, because we'll get some practice with that today. And Marie, was that go ahead, Marie.
Well, I didn't bring a story, but I just realized I've been using my story in 2 different places. I'm redeveloping my website, which is basically my story, which is actually pretty cool. And then I just, before I came onto this call, I was on a meeting with a new person to support me in my business. And I had to tell her my story there, like what my business is about. So there's so many places where this is really important. So I just realized, oh, I've been telling my story.
Fantastic. Thank you. On a website. And that's, you know, why does this thing that we do in your work, in your company, right? And you might think, I'm not a company, I'm just a person. Start thinking of yourself as a company, right? As a business, because you'll have gathered people behind you who can help you, even if they're volunteers at first or whatever. So know that you know, be the CEO of your company, right? Instead of like, I'm a sole proprietor. Some of you may be like, all I've got is a boss myself, and my boss is terrible, makes me work all the time. Like, don't choose that model, all right? I'm building a company and I have support behind me, even if I'm wearing a lot of hats in my company so far, right? And part of that is getting a team behind me, right? Part of it is getting a team behind me. And so as Marie is talking to this person who can help her out with her company, why would that person be interested? Why would they bother? Why would it matter? Well, it's a story with a theme, right? And then what Marie's going to be thinking about too, and these are the multiple layers of story. We'll talk more about this probably toward the end of next week's call, but Marie needs to know what her company does, the story of that, but she also needs to know why that person should care, because they have their own life and their own vision. Why would it matter to them? What's their story? There's a lot of different places where the stories are playing, right? So just some of the applications, all right? All right. So let me just jot down your biggest aha. Just want to empty out the room a little bit again. What's your biggest aha about story now? There's just some of the places we've been to and an opening into, oh, wow, story really is everywhere. Okay, thank you. Just finish up that thought. All right, so I want to reassign this. I'll let you finish. Some of you still have your heads down. Okay, so I'm going to reassign this for next week, some home play. Where do you first want to use your story? And start thinking about, you know, so what's the purpose? You know, what's the audience? Like Marie, it might be, I want to share my story with this new person that I'm talking to, who may become a team member. And I want them to feel like this is, that they really want to come on board, not just that it's a job, but that they're behind this mission and that there's something for themselves in it. That might be Marie's. And then she's going to match that up with a particular story. It's like, and I was thinking about telling her about, maybe it's something about her why she's even in business and why it matters. And she's going to tell that story in a way that matters to that person. Does that make sense? That might be Marie's. Or Marie might go, yeah, I already talked to her. That's not what's on my mind. I've got this talk coming up next week. And I want to tell them, I want to give it a testimonial, a story about one of my students, but I don't quite know how to articulate it. Maybe that, I don't know. I'm going networking and I want people to really engage with me and understand the work that I do and want to have a conversation with me. So just many, you know, a couple of the many places where we use story. So think about where do I want to use story and where's the first place that I want to use my story and what's a story that I could bring to the table that might fit the bill. So start doing that work because we'll play with that next week. Make sense? All clear on that? Okay, good. And, you know, it's just one place. Here's the primary place. And how do you choose that? It might be umpteen places, but think about there's a story in what you're choosing too. Like maybe it's, I want to do, this could be a good thing or a bad thing. I want to do 10,000 videos because I'm, and the story behind it might be because I'm really afraid to talk to a real life person and offer them my work. So Michelle, will you give me a chance to, will you help me see what I should say in my 10,000 videos? And I might go, let's go to the inner world story. Do you get what I'm saying? Why is it that you want to create 10,000 videos? And, you know, what if you could serve a real life human being, right? So what, notice what story you're choosing as well. Everyone should be out there networking, for instance, right? Meeting people that you could serve in whatever way that you do that in your field. So maybe it's about that conversation, right? Like what, so where is the place that you think will move the needle the most? That in itself is an interesting question for you to ponder, all right? So all clear on that, what your home play is for next time? All right, and we'll play with you next week. Okay. Let me see. All right, I just was checking in to see if we wanted to continue on in the way that my notes say, and yes, we do. So I wanted to give you 5 guiding principles, and you're in Story Freedom Academy. If anybody happened to wander in there this morning, there's 3 new handouts. Don't go over there now to take a look at it, but you can look at them after class. We're going to use a couple of them in class. And then some of it you can go and look at on your own as well afterwards. All right. And so I want to show you one of the handouts that's already there for you in Story Freedom Academy. And let me just find it and then I'll share my screen. Hopefully I've got the right one. Yes, I do. Okay, here we go. Okay, you can see that. And I think here's what I'd like to do. Actually, this is short enough. I just want to read it so we have time to think about this. We've actually done the first three. We've started talking about number five, and today we're going to do more on number four, all right? So somebody just unmute and read the first one. Somebody else unmute and read the second one so we have time to process what's on the page. We've talked deeply and we dove into the first three a lot already, all right? So five guiding principles for stories that sell now.
Number one, to tell the right story, start with a list of stories you can choose from. Number two, connect the story.
Oh, you can even read what goes underneath because it won't take us long.
Oh, okay. Oh, you have many more stories to draw on than you think. Start with a list of 25 stories and keep it handy. Expand your list as you and your company grow. Number two, connect the story with your larger purpose. To be effective, your story must be connected to a specific audience and purpose. That's what transforms your interested listeners into buyers. What's the purpose of your story? What do you want your audience to think or do as a result of this story?
Number three, own the story. To own your story, watch how you're playing. Know that there is no place outside story. Learn how to adapt story principles to your own story, company, and life.
Technical writing of the story. Match the story to its purpose each time. Know that you know more about writing and story than you think. Use the three stages of writing to plan, draft, and revise your story. Then practice, practice, practice.
Stories are everywhere. Stories are everywhere in your company. How will you use stories in your sales, marketing, company values, brand vision with your team as the CEO and leader of your company, with clients, with partners? Keep learning about story and watch your life and company grow.
Thank you for that. A very simple guide, but profoundly important principles. And you can see, I hope, and nod your head if you can, that we've gone into number one, two, and three in quite a deep way already. We just now, we're talking about number five. We'll do more on that probably next week. And clearly at Story Freedom, we get a deep dive into that as well. And technical writing of the story, we haven't talked much about that yet. Even though we were putting together stories last week, we didn't really talk about how that goes together. And that's a big part of what we're going to focus on today. Make sense? So you have that guide. This is the principles that we're in diving into in a deep way in Stories That Sell Now. And so the next place that I want to go to, and is that still where I want to go to next? Yes, it is. Any questions about that? Hopefully by now it sounded pretty straightforward. It's like, yes, Michelle, yes, check, check. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Okay, really good. So last week I said one of the things we're going to do, the piece that we're focused on right now in the next segment is the technical writing of the story. So I want you to know you know a lot more about stories than you think. Remember, Dawn just said stuff that mattered to her. And it's like, look what story structure you had in there. And I started outlining it. We're going to pull that apart further. But you know more about stories than you think, but you may not always be in the driver's seat of it. You may not consciously be doing it. And sometimes you don't know what you know. Do you know what I'm saying? So when we can bring it to the surface, when we can bring it to consciousness and add some craft and technique to it, we can exponentially grow our stories and our ability to tap into our stories for all the purposes that we want in our company and in our companies and our lives, right? So, as I mentioned last time about writing practice, because we write our stories down. Now, sometimes we're not going to write them down. Sometimes we're speaking them, but we want both abilities, right? And when we learn how to write our stories, like in written form, then it helps us to do it in spoken form as well. Does that make sense? We can kind of slow the process down when we're writing it down. we might write out a story, a version of it, one that we want to speak from stage, and then we'll speak it. We'll actually do it. We'll say it. It might not be the exact words and so on, but we know its essence and we wrote it down. So does it make sense that, that understanding how to write that down is an important skill to have? Yeah. Okay, really good. And some things are really tightly crafted. Like if you go over to my website and look at, there's a 4-minute video. I think it's on my speaker page. That was like very tightly crafted because I had exactly 4 minutes. I think it was going to be cut off at 4 minutes. There was a 3-camera shoot on a huge stage and there was one take allowed, right? So I crafted that very carefully. You can bet that I wrote that one down beforehand, right? I don't really advocate memorizing things, but in this case, in 4 minutes, like knowing what you want to say and you've got that one take, right? So, and then again, like for those kind of off-the-cuff stories, the more we understand about how stories work, those off-the-cuff stories get easier too. So, I used to teach half your courses on writing, even year-long courses that had to do with writing. And I'm like, what can I teach you in 20 minutes? Or so, it might be half an hour, we'll see. No, actually I've got half an hour set aside for it here. Maybe it'll be 10 minutes, I don't know, we'll see. But obviously it's gonna be more than 10 minutes. So. Three key ideas that I wanna get across to you. And then some other stuff too. But if you just have these three key things, this is gonna shift everything for you. I'll tell you what it is, like I'll give you the names and then I'll tell you what they mean. One of them we've already talked about. The third one, purpose and audience. I'm putting that as number three. Number one is process versus product. I'll explain what that means in a minute. Number two, plan, draft, revise. Number three, purpose and audience. So, when you know these things about writing, it changes everything. And, you know, when I used to teach university, just to teach plan, draft, or revise, I would spend 2 hours in a university course, teach training on that. We're going to do it in like 2 minutes, right? So just know there's more to it than this, but also I want you to know that you can take this and run with it. I want to give you the most important things, all right? So process versus product. There's a final product, like there's the book, there's the video that we did, there's the talk that we gave and we told that story in it. There's the final thing. I wrote that blog post. I did that interview. I did that podcast episode. I wrote that blog, right? And isn't that what we're seeking? Like, Michelle, I want to do the video. I want the video to be done. I want it to be really good. Does that make sense? Like we have that thing in front of us. It's our object of desire in story terms. It's that thing that we want so much. The irony is the more we hold tightly to that thing, the more it slips out of our fingers because it's attachment. In the yogic terms is attachment. We get attached to it. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be right. And preferably the very first time we do it too, right? And so we get all balled up, we get all tangled up, and we find that thing continues to disappear. And here, think about my students at university, they would come to me and what they wanted, you know, often was, well, what they wanted was a good grade on their paper so they could get into grad school, so they could, you know, like for the thing, it went right. So they needed a good grade in that course. So like, I need a paper that's going to get me an A, how do I do it, right? And then for the other students, it's like, I need a paper that's going to get me a C so I can get through this course at different aims, right? But it's like often too, like the A students, like they're so, I need that, that they couldn't hear anything. Am I making sense? There's the process. There's the product of writing and there's the process. I want you to fall in love with the process of writing, the process of creating our stories, the process of doing it. Because when we fall in love, and if you don't love it, find a way to love it. Ask me questions about loving it, right? I mean, think of it. Heidi was so not in love with the process of journaling. She never would have got there unless she fell in love with it somehow. She had to find a story that she could live with before she could even get the words to the page. Because she was, and this is such a great example, right? Because she was so sure that she wasn't going to like the product that she couldn't get. Sometimes it's like we so want that product to be perfect. And sometimes we're so frightened of that product and we get all balled up. fall in love with the process. And here's one, you know, great example when you're networking, but I don't know what to say. I've got to perfect my elevator pitch. Let me stay home and practice it for 3 years and tell it before I go talk to somebody. You know, let me stay behind my computer screen. Let me hide. Get out on the court, enjoy it. Notice when people are listening. Notice when their attention falls away. Try it this way, try it that way. See what works, play with it. I've got a handout that will talk more about that in a little bit that you can look at after class, right? But play with it. Dawn, I saw your hand up.
Thank you, Michelle. This is why I go to all of the webinars and why I enjoy them so much, because I take that time and I learn that way by the repetition. And while I'm sitting there, I let it flow. And I'm able to write and attach with the words that you're saying and the direction that you're giving. And it reminds me of Marie's creative focus hour, because that allows me that time. I schedule it and I attach to the material and I write at that time and I get the inspiration for whatever it is that I'm working on. It comes through and that's my time to work with it.
Oh, Dawn, that's so beautiful. I'm so glad you were on the call. So I'm right now, yesterday's in your inbox, right? It's not part of this journey, but you're so welcome to come. And it's just so glad you were there, Dawn. Yesterday, I gave my stories at Cell Talk. And the first time I gave that talk was 2015. I'm still giving that same talk. How did I create that talk? Exactly the same way that you know, talks at Cell, right? This in that half-day workshop that I gave you, right? And I'm repeating that again tomorrow. It's in your inbox. You can come tomorrow if you want. I don't remember what time it's at. I think it's in your inbox. Go look in your inbox and come. And by the way, that's a high level. It's not your first rodeo. We've been doing the work for some time, right, Dawn? And so that's a great way to use that. As you get to more advanced levels of the work, then as we're doing work that you may have heard before, I work with my teachers and I want to hear the message 10, 20 times. I want to hear it 50 times because I know there's deeper and deeper levels that I can access. And when I do that too, that is exactly what happens when we're at that more advanced level. Thoughts will come, ideas will come, you'll generate things that emanate from that material. So thank you for that, Dawn. I really encourage you to come tomorrow, you guys. And also it's a great example of playing with it. I've been giving that talk since 2015 and I've never given it twice exactly the same way. And yet the structure is always the same. There's always a structure to it that makes sense, right? But it's alive every single time. Yeah, Dawn, go ahead.
And that's it. When you're doing it, I'm actually saying it with you because I already know what the three keys are.
Yes,
it
of helps course.
Cement it for me. And like Heidi said too, I love to hear your voice. So, and be in your presence. And so when I'm hearing it, I'm in the best place for inspiration to flow through me.
Fantastic. And that's a wonderful way, again, to think about like process versus product. Dawn is, and I'm not seeing her being anxious about, okay, well, when I'm there, I've got to produce this one, you know, this talk. So while Michelle's speaking, there's none of that angst there. Can you hear it? She's in the midst of the process of creation, actually, as she's listening, because it's that higher level listening, right? And so it's fantastic. So let go. I know it's easier said than done, right? Wait, no, let me revise that. It's easy to do when we truly find things to fall in love with the process. And when you love people, for instance, when you're out there networking, that's easy to do. And it gets us aside from ego, right? Wow, I got to have the picture perfect elevator pitch or the whole world falls apart. That's ego. Wow, I just want to say something about what I do and then listen to that other person and see if I can help them and see if what I'm saying is ringing a bell with them. It's on the court, it's real. It's. I do believe that if you're here in this room, it's who you are at your core. Do you know what I'm saying? To be that on the court, real with people, the process, not the product. And what is that process of writing? Plan, draft, revise, right? So plan, draft, revise. And when we're actually crafting a piece, it can take longer than we think, but it's also, we're not anxious to get to the end because every version of it is its own beautiful thing, okay? So first we plan it. So for instance, you know, we're going to talk later about what a U-shaped story is and how you can create yours. And we'll do that with you perhaps today, and it'll go into next time as well, all right? And why that U-shaped story matters. So first you're going to plan it, right? You're going to brainstorm and just gather ideas, and you include everything. Nothing is left out. Well, you don't let your editor come in. Well, that's a dumb idea. It can't be that. Can you see that we did that? As I said, you know, well, what story am I going to use? Well, here's 25 stories. Here's 100 stories. Well, is that one a good one? Is that one a bad one? No, we're just letting all the stories come out. That's like the planning process. And then drafting, I'm moving you into the drafting process too. And I said, well, choose one place where you want to use your story and choose one story and let's start to craft it, right? So now we're starting to draft it. We're starting to take from all this brainstorming and planning and actually write it out. And then when we first written it out, when we write it out too, the editor likes to come in, that voice inside that doesn't help us very much, and says, well, that's not right. It's not good. This is like, just get the words to the page. Just get the words to the page. And then set it aside for a bit and then come back to it. You know, don't come with that critical eye. Oh, everything's, you know, wrong. Everything's bad. Don't come to it when you're in a real grouchy mood because you'll think everything's wrong. Come back to it when you're aligned. Come back to it after a little bit of a break. And sometimes maybe it's you have to go on stage right away and you're crafting it right away. And so you give yourself a couple breaths and come back to it. Other times you're going to set something aside for a week. It depends on the project, right? But you revise it. You go back and further craft it so that people can hear. So for instance, my story about this table. Did I tell you the story about the table last week? You know, this is a table and I, you know, just said random things about it and there's no story there, right? There's no theme there. And then I told a story about, I love this table because it's made of wood and it reminds me of the woods. So let's say I was crafting that story and I kind of knew what the theme was. And at first I thought it was about the wood, but maybe it started to shift for me and really I want to say something else. And so then I go back and reshape the story. And I want you to know that it's not linear. We don't go plan, draft, revise and done with that. Sometimes I go back and go, it's not really about the wood. What is it about this table? Oh, it's the smoothness of the surface. Why is it that smoothness interests me so much? And I go brainstorm, I go back to planning and brainstorming, right? What is it that's about smoothness that so interests me? And you could see us working with that last week. I didn't talk about it in terms of the writing process, but for instance, as Marnie was talking about that, was it Love Hurts was the theme, right? So we were gently, and I was watching your eyes because we were doing it right on the spot, you know, but I didn't think that we were creating editors in people like, oh no, I didn't, you know, because we were doing some really delicate work there, right? But Marnie, it looked like she was strong, looked like she was doing fine, right? And so it was like, her story was supposed to say Love Hurts, but it started drifting a little bit over into, but it's worth it. Wasn't that it, right? So then we planned it by here's the theme and here's it, right? And then she drafted it right on the spot. She said it right on the spot. That was the drafting. And then my words were aimed at starting to do some revisions and see what we could revise to tighten the theme up so people could hear better. If you're hearing planning, drafting, and revising and what those distinct aspects of writing are, raise your hand. Did you get that? And you may have heard this before. Most dangerous words in the English language, I already know that, right? Because we don't do it, right? I want you to notice how you're doing it, not the theory of it, but how you actually do it. Because for instance, if I'd said to Marnie, well, yeah, how about if we like see if we can pull that in further about the, you know, landing on Love Hurts, because I know Marnie was hearing it, right? And Marnie could have been like, well, no. And she could have resisted, she could have pulled back, she could have pulled out of that. And sometimes and she didn't, but you know, ego comes in, or we worry, or we feel unworthy, all that stuff. Keep watching how you're playing through that, right? And again, for Heidi to even get to the drafting stage, she had to do some inner work as well. So there's inner work all the way along to actually get the words to the page. All right, process versus product, plan, draft, revise, that's the process of writing. And then purpose and audience, we already talked about this, but I just wanted to underline it as so crucial for any story and any writing piece, or anytime we're saying anything, really. purpose and audience. What is it I want to say? And who do I want to say it to? And to Dawn's point earlier, she says it came inside her as an aha. Right. A story always has somebody that we're saying it to. Could you see how embodied it was in Dawn at that moment? We could hear the words, but remember how Dawn said it. It's like, right. It's for a particular person. It's why it's so important to know exactly who our ideal client is, the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. If we don't know who we're talking to, we have no idea what to say to them. And if we don't know what it is we want to say, if we don't know if it's love hurts or love is worth it, our words will get mixed up. And Marnie did an amazing job right on the spot. But then she can go back and recraft it once she has the tools of writing at hand, right? And the tools of story making at hand. All right. Any questions about that? Was that clear? These are, again, like to understand plan, draft, revise, I'd spend 2 hours at university, right? And there'd be like people like jaw dropping, like, oh, right, you know, there's a lot more to it than this, but I want you to at least understand the framework and then you'll get it through the doing of it, all right? You'll get it through the doing of it this weekend as we're working with it in the next couple of, like today and next week. All right. Couple other pointers. So those are the key things I wanted to share with you. And then I wanted to share with you a couple other pointers, all right? And then I wanted to look at the handout that I gave you so you'll know what a resource it is to take what I just said further. And don't worry, we will get a break. I know it's been like a lot of just learning stuff right now too. We'll get a break at least by 2:30 at my place, all right? So can you hang in there for a little bit longer until we get to a natural break so we have enough behind us so that it can be running around in your head over the break, right? It'll go deeper for you. So couple things. Sometimes it takes time. It takes time to craft something and know that that's okay. I used to tell my students at university, when they were writing a 4 or 5 page paper, I asked them how long they think it'd take. And they go like, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I tell them, it'll probably take you about 15 to 20 hours. And they go, can I change sections? You know, I fell in love with the class by the end. You know, like, what? And I tell them, you know, and they're going, like, no way. You can see the disbelief in their faces. And I'll say, well, like, you're probably right. You know, ask students who've been through the course before. You're right. I'm that's not actually right. They'll tell you that it took twice as long. like, no, I'm afraid. But then they would start to know the task at hand. If we really want to craft what it is we're saying, if it's something highly crafted, it can take time, right? But don't worry about it. All the iterations along the way, you can love all of them and all of them can do work for you. You can also craft something in a moment like Dawn did at the beginning of this call. So don't let that frighten you off. But also I'm doing some what I call preemptive editor proofing for you. It's like, how come I'm not getting it? You know? It's okay. Be gentle with yourself. Our stories can take time and they gestate and they evolve. That's what I wanted to get across here. Let me see. Another thing that I want to tell you then, when we're talking about story, the story itself matters more than having perfect language. There's a wonderful book about novel writing called The Story Grid. And I think this is where I heard this story and about novelists crafting their work. And he said, you know, editors, sometimes people go, how come the editor didn't edit better than this because the language is off or they didn't quite write the sentence right or whatever it is. But he said, that's really a wise editor because they know not to mess with the story. There's an aliveness in the heart of the story itself that takes precedence. Dawn wasn't searching for the exact right words. It's because unconsciously perhaps, but she has the tools, she's been learning them, right? She knew that she had a point she wanted to make with the story. There was all the elements of story that we're going to go through after the break, right? That there was an obstacle, there was a thing in the way, and that she landed on the thing that she wanted to say, and we all heard it. And she wasn't going, should I use this word or that word? You know, a single word can matter, like Heidi, invasive procedure. That word invasive changed the story so much so that Dawn had to say, I support you in that. A well-told story has people hearing it, right? So I'm not saying words don't matter, they do. But the story takes precedence. If we've got the story, And yet that I want you to be more relaxed too, because if I've got the story, then maybe I stumble over my words. Maybe I don't get it quite right. Like there's a lot of leeway when we understand how stories work. Does that make sense? Because Dawn had, I pointed out some of the story elements that were allowing us to hear this beautiful thing that she had to say. Okay. Let me see. So all I want to do before we take a break, I think this will work well. Let me see. My timing is a little bit different. We did a deep dive at first, so let me see. Does this work well? Yes. Okay, this will work. Yeah, just two things that I want to show you, and then we can take a break. Can you hang with me till then? You're still alive and awake. You look like you are. Thank you for that, because I know it's a lot, right? You've been doing a lot. Okay. I just want to show you the handout that you can take a look at after class, and it's there as a resource for you. Every single line in it has layers of meaning behind it. If you implemented even a single line in this handout, it can change your company, can change your stories, can change your life, all right? But I've written it as simply as I can. So don't let its deceptive, simple, you know, directness and simpleness fool you about the power of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like if I said to you, well, a story has to have a theme, it's like, well, I learned that in high school. Oh yeah, but what does it actually mean? You know what I mean? All right, so let me go find the handout. Give me 1 second. I think I've got it right here. Yes, I do. All right. So we won't spend a lot of time on this handout here. But you've got it in Story Freedom Academy. And remember, planning, drafting, revising, a great acronym, a great way to think about it. I've given you a little acronym is CAPS. Treat the story like clay and play. Can you hear that? Like the planning, drafting, revising. We did that on the court. We did it first last week. And then I'm giving you the structure behind like why what we did worked, because we were playing with the story on the spot, all right? So to find the right story to tell to this particular audience at this particular time, like Dawn said, right, is for a particular person. Remember this acronym, play with a story like clay, mold it. Don't be so attached to that final product, you know, play with it. Who's the audience? What's the purpose? What is it you're trying to say? And remember, you got so many stories, all right? And so under each one of these, I give you some guidelines. You get to mold your story. Each story can be shaped in so many different ways, depending on your purpose and audience. We did that, for instance, for almost an hour last week, right? Was it? I can't remember how long we spent with this. That one line, and we didn't even go into audience. So up until the last two words of this, we spent an hour just on this one sentence, right? So this is jam-packed with stuff that will help you. And it's, again, hopefully it comes across as self-evident by the time you're reading it, right? Right? Of course that's right, right? Have fun with it. Focus on the process of story creation rather than on the final product. I just taught you that, right? And why, another way to think about it, an artist doesn't want the clay to appear suddenly fully formed in front of them. That's no fun, right? You envision it, you see the masterpiece, you start to play with it. So start to think of your stories like that when I'm networking, when I'm on stage, right? Who's your story for? That's about audience. Again, you have this at Story Freedom Academy, so you can go and look through this in detail. The purpose, you have to have one specific purpose. We did a deep dive into that, the theme last week, right? And you know why that theme right now? We didn't even really do that last week. It's just like, here's the theme, let's make it mean that. But what is it that you even want to say? And then at the end, you want a call to action. You want people to do something, all right? So one, you have, and this is connected to the business purpose. I'm not going to go through all this in detail. You can read it yourself and bring questions about it next week. But when you have a person in front of you, one yes at a time, one story point, one call to action, right? One thing at a time. And the handout will outline how that works. What story should you pick? And as you're picking that story for next week, do you love the story? Do you want to spend time with it? It's like every time you think about that story, you feel like an awful mess. It actually might have power in it, maybe, but maybe it's a different story you want to start with. I don't know. Think about it, right? When you love the story, you get to decide what the theme is, et cetera, all right? So some guidelines, both about stories and about the writing process outlined with a simple acronym that you can remember. Make sense? All right, so just wanted to underline that you have that resource. I'm not going through it in detail here. And then let me see. Just deciding if we're going to do this this week or next week. Give me a second here. We're going to do that part next week. All right. You can still stay for one more piece. And some of you have, you may have seen this before, but I want to, every piece of it has power. And so last week we talked about a story needs to have a theme. It has to have a purpose, only one purpose. And the more we stay laser focused on that one purpose, we can watch attention drifting when we don't stay on that one purpose. The more Deborah stayed with the story that was connected with the ring, or that she stayed with the story connected with the 8-track tape, the more people could hear. If you started telling the 8-track tape story but drifted over to the ring story, it started getting fuzzy and our attention waned. And it's kind of funny too, because it's like it didn't, can you hear that it didn't even matter what the theme was? Because we were saying opposite things, but the story still held our attention. It held the attention when the theme was clear and specific and we stayed there. Now it's up to you as a heart-centered person to come up with a theme that hopefully uplifts people, right? That makes a difference on the planet. So we're not even talking about that part, right? But here, when you notice the structure of story, when the theme stays steady, we hear it. And again, Dawn's theme is like, I used to think that being an empath, it was there to torture me, but it's not, it gives me power. Clear theme and something clearly stated and that's empowering to people, right? And she's got our attention. So story, that having that one theme will have people listen to us no matter what it is that we have to say. It's why I don't teach the evil ones. You're gonna get what I'm saying, right? And I joke about that because I really believe that people are good. But if you're here, you've got something important to say to people, and I want to empower you to say it in ways that people will hear. Does that make sense? This is so powerful. All right. So you need a theme. But what we didn't talk about last time, remember I said, oh, well, Dawn's, what she just said has story structure, and that's why we heard. We didn't really talk about that last time, right? We talked about the theme. And then I just let you tell your own story about it, right? But we didn't really talk about, well, how do we structure that story? Does that make sense? When you think about it, we didn't talk about, well, how do we structure that story? And how we structure that story is called plot. The plot of a story, right? What actually happens in the story? And stories have a particular shape. And here's how I like to think of it. Somebody wants something. Something gets in the way, gets worse until there's a crisis, a decision that has to be made. And then there's a result. And now we're in a new world. Isn't that exactly what Dawn was doing? Is like a little mini story. And Dawn, can I use your story so we can map it onto this? Because it maps on so beautifully. Thank you so much for that. Who was at the center of Dawn's story? It's pretty clear. We have to know very clearly who's at the center of the story. And it was very clear. It was Dawn, wasn't it? Good. Because if Dawn was talking about herself and her cousin, well, I'm an empath. Well, my cousin is too. Well, he thinks about it differently than I do. Can you hear, like, we can't hear the story. All of a sudden it gets muddy. A person at the center of the story, or maybe it's an animal, right? One person at the center of the story. And then somebody wants something. What did Dawn want? By the end of the story, we understood it. If I had to put words to it, it would be something like this. And again, I might not have it perfectly crafted. I just want you to get that it's always somebody wants something, right? Dawn has been an empath, and it's a problem too that she's solving, right? It's like she has this desire to not have to live with being an empath in this torturous way. How could life feel different when she's an empath and she's so sensitive to things that sometimes it hurts? And in fact, so much, she's such an empath that I'm checking in and looking at, are you still okay that I'm telling this story, Dawn? Right? Yeah. Okay, good. So So somebody wants something. Something's in the way. The problem is that she's had this whole history of being tortured by being an empath. And so that's the, you know, and again, this is a very short story, but all the elements are there, right? So since that's been the history, and since she bumps into it, and since that actually happens, what's she going to do until it comes to a crisis or a decision, right? And she said it so clearly, that part of the story, she just went, bam, and we got it. But I decided, I realized that's not the case. That that being an empath, that's my superpower. Oh. And there, the decision that she made, it also in this case happens it underlines the theme. That, and there, her theme, we could say it, is it arguable? Yes, that being an empath is not something that tortures people. It's your superpower. And she could go, she could talk about that from stage when you know how to use it. And here's the three ways I'm going to show you how to be used being an empath or whatever, right? So, and the result, we can feel it, right? Dawn is now living in a new world. And can you see that every aspect of her life has changed? How she views talking to people, going into a crowd, networking with people, everything has changed. She's stepped into a new world. Somebody wants something. There's something in the way. It gets worse and worse until it comes to a crisis. A decision is made. Then that crisis forces a choice too, right? And then there's a result. She ends up in a new world. And somewhere in there, the theme is underlined, right? We could hear the, and it's like, did Dawn say the theme then or then or then? It's like all the elements were there and we heard it. Okay. The way to, let me see. Do I want to put this in the chat? Let me just see. I think I wasn't going to do this, but let me see if I've got it in my notes online, because then I can put it in the chat for you, because it's sometimes easier when you can see it. And, oh, but that's the wrong place. If I can't find this quickly for you, I won't bother, but I didn't think of it till just now. There it is. Okay. Oh yeah, in that handout that I just showed you, by the way, I used some examples in it that I haven't used those examples in teaching this class right now. But if you want to know what those means, they're examples from Star Wars, right? So just ask me about it, all right? But don't worry about it. If you don't understand what those examples are, it's fine, right? So here's, it reminded me because I've got an example in my notes and I'll explain what it means. So this is another way to say what I just said. Somebody wants something, something gets in the way. The thing that I just said and mapped onto Dawn's story, somebody, we call that in story terms, that's the protagonist. It's the hero, it's the central person. And then B, there's a desire. We talked about that. Somebody wants something. C, there's an obstacle. There's something in the way. This is story form. This is plot. It's a structure of a story, right? Then D, there's a crisis or a decision. And I wrote irreconcilable goods. That's a little more technical about story. I'm not going to go deeply into that. I've taught for hours around just these two words before, but I'll give you just a little bit about it because it helps us make deeper stories. And then know that if you even have any piece of this, you're so far ahead of where most people are in around understanding how stories are put together. All right. So the crisis forces a choice. And we saw that with Dawn. It's like, no, I choose this. This is what this means, right? And then the result, you take a stand, there's the theme, there's an elixir. It's like this, in story terms, sometimes you call it an elixir. It's like this special sauce, you know? This special sauce that changes everything. And then Dawn's special sauce, that's the theme, right? Because that's this idea that it can now be not something that harms her, but something that actually is her superpower, right? And I wrote down, I use the Force, Luke. I like Star Wars examples sometimes. And so in Star Wars, for instance, there's a moment in that original movie where Luke has a choice to make, because he's supposed to, if he doesn't hit the bullseye, all is lost and the bad guys are going to win, right? And he has a decision to make. Either he's going to use the tracking devices that they've told him to use, or he's going to remember what his teacher told him, use the forest leaf, right? And he makes a decision. He takes a stand. He turns off all of this equipment and everybody thinks he's crazy. And at that moment, you know, he achieves, he gains the prize that he wants, just like Dawn gained the prize that she wanted, just a new understanding of herself and her world, right? And then moves into something new. The result is the moment following the decision where we see the magic of using our power, and we can see it again in what Dawn, and Dawn could flesh out that as a whole. I mean, hers is like the sketch of a story, right? Had the essentials of it, but she could flesh it out as a whole story. It's got the essentials, right? Okay, let me see. One more piece that I want to give you is that when we understand plot, like how the events happen in a story, it's really about character, about who that person is. It really tells us about who that person is, the person at the center of the story. I know you guys get that, because didn't it tell us a lot about Dawn and who she is and what matters to her and how she sees her world, and right? So the elements of the story, when we put them together and it's designed well, really tell us about character, really tell us about who that person is. And that's what grabs us, right? Okay, I think those are all the pieces that I wanted to give you so that you can marinate on that, have it bumping around, or not bumping around, like just moving around in the back of your mind as you take your break. I wanted to give you those pieces. Any questions as in points of clarification, like I didn't understand this, Michelle, or that doesn't make sense to me? Not searching for a question, but just something like, hey, Michelle, I'm confused. Or I'm hoping that there's clarity, that you all got what I'm saying, and we had the perfect example of Dawn's story so we could get it. Making sense? All right. So let's take a break in just a minute. We're going to come back to some examples of stories, so we start understanding how to put our stories together. And Dawn gave us such a beautiful example without knowing she was doing it. Probably she wasn't thinking, she just about it, but she's assimilated a lot about story. Over doing the work, and that's how it came out, right? I don't want you to second guess yourself. I don't want you to overthink it, but you can start to use these elements consciously in all kinds of situations. So I'm gonna give you some more about, I'll tell you about what that irreconcilable goods means. I'll give you some examples, other examples, so we can get a tighter hold on how those story elements work. And we'll play with story a little bit, and we'll start to take it on the court with some specific business example, so you know how this works, how this can actually work in your life on the court. Make sense? That's the aim for this afternoon. So I think what I want to do, because we've done so much last time and today, can you feel it? This has been a ton about story. I want to just like put a little bow on it. It's not a complete bow, but just like can do a little mini consolidation. And then we'll take our break, and we'll take a good break because you've got a lot to just process, right? Please don't go check email. Please don't take yourself out of the energy of what we're creating, because you want energy for what's to come after the break. So go lie in Shavasana, go get yourself a cup of tea, go for a walk, whatever it is, but regenerate, rejuvenate, take good care of yourself over the break, and know that what we've been talking about will be processing in the back of your mind. So you'll be ready for the next piece, journal, whatever it is you want to do. So we'll do that mini consolidation, just one or two or three words, something of the gift that you've heard today. It could be of the review from last time. It could be from the ahas. It could be from the wins shared. It could be from this new next level understanding about stories and how they work. It could be any piece of what's happened today. It could be something that wasn't spoken, but something that bubbled up inside you. Just one or two or three words so that we can hear some collectivity of what's been brewing here today together. Diane, and don't think about what your three words are going to be. They'll change anyway by the time it's your turn. And if you're there living 5 seconds in the future, you'll miss what somebody else said. And that might be the most important thing that will open something for you, right, in our call today. So Diane, just one or two or three words, you're in my upper left-hand corner, about something that of the gift that you received, some aha, something from today's work.
Being heard and understood.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Marnie.
Purpose, structure, and power.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Can you hear like this deep dive connection with all the things we've been doing and both of those already? So beautiful. Anna Maria.
Introspection, listening deeply.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful. Heidi.
Faith that the content and the form come together.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Deborah.
Character equals audience.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Dawn.
I feel lighter and relief and support.
Lighter, relief, support. And Heidi said, character equals audience. I only gave you three words. What I hear in that is, as I understand about character, my audience will hear me. You got that across. At least that's what I heard in just a few words. Fantastic. I got it. Yeah, fantastic. All right. I want us to take a good break today. Let's take a 15-minute break. My watch says 2:35. So let's go from 2:35 Mountain Time to 2:50. Please do not take yourself out of this energy. Please take good, loving care of yourself, whatever that means to you, over these 15 minutes, because we'll come back with a lot more pieces that we'll start putting the puzzle pieces together at 2:50. All right. See you guys in a little bit. Thank you so much for your fabulous work. Great work.